concerning with our board and, of course, our senior staff. So we've been working with realtors and a couple of different realtors looking in different locations, and then also some other options to just, you know, but one of the options through this whole time of prayer and searching, there is a building that's been identified, and so we're in conversations. Yeah, we're in conversations with the owner and the lessee and all that. So we'll see, that potentially is a good location for us. But again, we're praying through that whole process and just discerning if that's the Lord's leading. Yes, amen, amen. We're believing for it. So for those that want to kind of track with us how we're processing forward, we do know that sometime by the end of this year, the beginning of next year, 2021, is when we anticipate being in transition, because the host church, ESYF, or Espíritu Santo y Fuego, they're in transition. They'll be moving into their new property. So they purchased property. So as they move into their property, there's another church that's going to occupy this space. They've purchased it, at least as far as purchasing the use of it, and then also leasing with the owner. So again, the end of this year, beginning of January, so we have time to get the word out. We are in transition. We want to make sure that this is not a sudden transition the way our last transition was. That was a really hard season in so many ways, but I just want to bury that. Our bookkeeper says amen to that. It was a very difficult season. But I just ask for your prayers, prayer for me, my family, for the leadership here. We need the grace of the Lord to follow his direction, his leading. But I have such an excitement. It's been a long time. We've been here about a year and a half, and it's been really hard to celebrate family when you're sharing, and there's a lot of limitations. But we're excited for the season ahead, being able to be in our own building, our own space, our own time, and just being able to just, yeah, just if that kind of does that, can you discern what that, you know, just it's exciting. We'll also be able to save money towards purchasing whenever we're in that position to do so. So we're working with our finance team also to get our books in order and making sure that everything is ready to, you know, when we get to that point, it could be, you know, anywhere from a year to 10 years, who knows. And then there's also the reality that, you know, Jesus could come back pretty soon. So I don't think he's coming back tonight. So let the listener understand the doctrinal understanding of what I just said. So, but tonight I want to share a message from the Lord's heart. I was thinking about, before we pray, I just want to say what an honor and a privilege it is to stand before the Lord on your behalf, those listening, those in the room. What an honor, what a privilege, what a holy reverence, a privilege to stand before the Lord to discern what is he saying in this season? What is he doing? What is it? We've been in a series called The Battle for Truth. The battle lines have been drawn since Adam and Eve left the garden, but the battle lines are getting even more intense in our country and in this generation all over the earth. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your presence. The battle for truth is really the battle for the identity of a man. It's the battle of the testimony of Jesus. We talk about a battle for truth. It's not a battle of ideologies and who's right or wrong. And we see so much of that on the internet, on social media. There's a battle with about who's right and who's wrong. But really, at the end of the age and where we're heading between now and the return of Jesus, the second coming of Jesus, it's a battle for truth, which is a man. And he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he's looking for you and me, those who declare, I am a follower, I'm a disciple of Jesus, to declare this is who Jesus is, come hell or high water, or like the Song of Solomon, Solomon says, come the waters or the fires of persecution and testing, whatever comes our way, we will stand, and continuing to stand, we will declare this is the testimony of Jesus. Tonight I want to share a message called You Shall Be Holy. You shall be holy. The word of the Lord says, this is a prophetic promise to you and me as the sons and daughters of God, that we will be holy. Why? Because God is holy. God is a father. He gives us the ability by his grace to be a good father, a good mother. God is a shepherd. He teaches us how to love others around us. gives us that promise. There's so many things that his identity are, and by virtue of who Jesus is, that is also who we are privileged and empowered to become. We are becoming like Jesus. We are little Jesuses, so to speak, little Christ. The New Testament talks about that. And I want to share this word, and I want to believe that at the end of this service, we're going to have a time just to wait on the Lord, just to receive the fire of his presence. Wow. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Would you just pray and just believe God's going to speak to you tonight? Father, we thank you for your spirit. Lord, thank you for that word in Isaiah 66, verse 2. You set your eyes on those who tremble at your word. The man, Christ Jesus, is the living word. And I stand before your holy presence. And I tremble under this privilege and awe and this responsibility of declaring your word to your people. Oh God, I bless your name. Jesus, I honor you tonight. I ask you, Holy Spirit, let my words bring honor to Jesus and however I speak about him. And let us be ready to receive it tonight. As you speak, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. What I started out saying a minute ago was the privilege of preaching God's word. God gives me this privilege to discern what is he saying, what is he doing in this season, in this time. And then I get the privilege to stand before you as his people and to declare that message, that word. And then for those that are lovers of his word, again, that verse, Isaiah 66, verse 2, those that stand before him and tremble because of that holy awe of who he is, you're ready to receive that word. And so I'm praying that that is the case tonight. I'll never forget the time I was, the second message I ever preached. I was in Winter Garden, Florida. And it was a Sunday night. I'm preaching with two other of my peers. And before the service, I was getting ready to deliver this message. I'm at home preparing my sermon notes on yellow memo pad. That's back in the day before you had a, you know. So I'm writing all my notes down, and it was exegetically not even. I mean, I probably was just, it wasn't heretical, but it was probably close to it. But I remember just being there, just the fear of standing before people, you know. I'm getting nervous, and it's like, this is the second time I'm preaching. My pastor's going to be hearing this. My senior pastor, I'm in the big people church, you know. It's like, oh, the first sermon I was in the youth group. Now I'm in the big people church, you know. I'm 18 years old. And so I just remember praying, and I remember the Lord saying to me, as long as you stand before my people to preach my word, I will stand beside you and help you deliver that word. So I'm saying that because I'm reminded of the presence of the Lord to stand with me. And I feel his presence so strongly tonight. That's why I'm trembling, if you're wondering why my legs are shaking. Let me move on. Psalm chapter 24. If you have your Bibles, lift them. I love those who carry your word. It's a sad statistic that was just brought out by, I forget the researcher. Remind me the famous dude that does a Barna. Yeah, it was Barna. And the statistic is just less and less as believers. We're not carrying our word. We're not reading the word. We're not studying the word. So I implore you, get the word out. Dust it off. Remind myself, make sure we're in the word, because it's a man who speaks to us. Psalm chapter 24, verses 3 and 4. Ready? God's prophetic promise is that you and I will be holy. Here's what Psalm 24, I encourage you this week, read the whole chapter. It's beautiful. It's powerful. It's majestic as it describes and defines who God is to his people and how we approach him. And when we approach him in his presence, we're transformed and we live differently. We live out of a place of hunger for him. And I believe God wants to impart that to our hearts and to his people. Psalm 24, verse 3 and 4. Who may ascend? Just imagine someone climbing a mountain. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Another question that the Lord asked through this psalmist writing, he says, or who may even stand in his holy place? Well, he answers the question. I love this. God asks a question. He already has the answer. Sometimes he leaves it open-ended, waiting on you and I to respond. But in this text, in this passage, he answers it. He says, you want to know who will climb the mountain of the Lord, who can climb the mountain of the Lord, and who can stand in his holy place? It's the one who has clean hands and a pure heart. He who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully, just want to say to us tonight from the beginning of this, God sees you and I. He sees your full potential. He sees your full potential even before you do. He sees the full potential you have in His image and in His expression, in His likeness, even more than your family does, even more than your friends, your coworkers, and those in this generation. God sees your full potential. And when He sees you, when you have been washed by the blood of the Lamb, you've walked through that door of repentance as a follower of Jesus, when the Father in heaven looks at you, He sees your potential from the end before you even started. And as I bring this message tonight, I want to bring it as a way of declaring to you, this is who God sees you in the end, and He's calling you into that. And I believe like never before, God is calling and reminding His church, especially in our nation, but all over the world, because the times are close approaching, fast approaching, where God is drawing clear delineations for you and me of what it means to be a true follower of Christ. That middle ground or riding the fence I always heard in youth group growing up, you know, riding the fence, you know, living one way outside of church and living another way inside of church, that line, that fence is broken down. There is no middle line anymore, any longer. The Lord is allowing just enough persecution, just enough pressure, just enough testing so that it is solidifying and revealing who we are on the inside. And that which God has deposited on the inside of you and me, He wants it to come out, because there are those who are blinded and are imprisoned because they have not yet seen or understood who Christ is in His fullness and in salvation. It is an hour where God is awakening His church like never before to stand with a clear message of who He is and what He is saying to this generation. When Jesus returns, those that have rejected Him really will go to a real hell, a real burning lake of fire. There is a place that is being prepared for those that say, I hate Jesus. I disrespect Him. I do not want His leadership. But the scripture says there is also a home being prepared for those that desire Him, that want to follow His leadership, that want to agree with who He is and what He says. He desires that none should perish, but all should be saved. And that's why He's clarifying this message within the hearts of you and me. We shall be holy because He is holy. Who may ascend into that place? Who will stand in that holy place? Tonight, I'm just telling us as a reminder, we're called to be holy because God is holy. What He is what we're called to be. Does that make sense? That seems so elementary, but when I say it, that's a powerful statement. Who God is what He has called us to be. That's powerful. We so admire and admonish and just worship Jesus and who He is and His deity and His fullness, even as a man. We should, rightfully so. But the very things that He did in the name of His Heavenly Father are the things that He's called us to do and to give ourselves to. Wow. We've been made for more than what our generation has defined us to in Christian, American Christianity. God has a higher identity for us. He has a higher assignment for us than simply being churchgoers and, you know, doing the potluck dinner and green bean casserole. For anybody that's from the South, you know what I'm talking about. Far more. He's called us to become far more than that. I have a dream in my heart that God will, His final visitation, this final revival, this final awakening in the heart of His people will be you and me becoming a generation that Psalm chapter 24 talks about. Coming and becoming a hungry people, a desperate people like Jacob that Psalm 24 talks about. Abandoning everything to have more of God. How many of you are willing? This is a rhetorical question, but if you're bold enough to say it, you can shout amen. But how many are bold enough to say tonight in this place or at home, I'm willing, I'm desiring to give up everything, even if it costs my life, to have more of God? I want that for my own heart. I want that for my own family. I want that for this generation. I want to be that Jacob generation that Psalm 24 talks about. But the writer, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says this is how it will become possible for you and me in our hearts and in our generation, the body of Christ, by being those that ascend the hill of the Lord. Let's look at this first point, Roman number 1. Who may ascend? Let's just break this down a little bit for a second. You got my clock? Got it. Boom. Love it. Let me just make this statement. You are not called to be a copycat. So if I had my phone, I would open up Instagram and go, you know, as an example, whatever is being displayed on Instagram, social media, or even being heard on media channels or on in Hollywood, you are called to be, not to be a copycat. We are called to be one uniquely created and with a unique identity in the Lord. Well, Psalm chapter 24 again, who may ascend or climb the hill of the Lord and stand in his presence? So what is the definition of holy? The definition of holy or holiness, what does that mean for us? It's the opposite of being common. There are a thousand things that are common in our life. Like you go down to the beach, especially on the West Coast, and you see tons of shells on the seashore. It's probably a bad example because there's so many unique different shells on the beach. You go to California Beach, all the rocks, somebody help me think of an analogy, please. That's not even a good example. Different sizes, different whatever. There's so many things in our culture that are common. Holy, to be holy is to be unlike the common, unlike the sand is common, yeah, unless you look at it under a microscope. I'm just kidding. Thanks for the laughs. But to be holy is to be opposite than common or opposite than profane. To be holy is to be uniquely identified and created. It's to be glorified in a sense that is totally unique and other than anything else. God is holy because he is totally other than. He is not like anything else or anyone else. He is God. You know, the scripture says God is love. He is holy love because his love is unlike any other love. He is all wise, but he has a holy wisdom. His wisdom is beyond any other wisdom in creation. I've been using this phrase in my personal prayer time the last few weeks. I've been saying, God, you are matchless. You are matchless. No one matches you. No one ascends to that level of who you are. You're holy, another way of saying it. God is holy other than. He is utterly different than. He is distinct from all of his creation. And his people, you and me, are called to be the same. You're not supposed to be like the neighbor on your left or the neighbor on your right or the person that you know. And even to aspire to be like that other person. We're called to be uniquely created. And that identity can only be found by those that ascend the hill of the Lord and stand in his presence. We're going to talk about that. We're getting there. How many are with me? Say amen. Say, David, I'm with you. All right, I think you're telling the truth. Letter C, to be with God is to become like God. In the same way, to be with someone else often is to become like that person. The longer you spend time with a person, the more you start emulating them, the more you start dressing like them, the more you start talking like them, the more you start eating and enjoying the things that they enjoy. Funny story. I remember going through pimple stage, also known as puberty. And I was in high school, and I began to just cut out all these things out of my diet because I'm like, I got to get rid of these pimples, you know. The medication doesn't work. And so I cut out soda and chocolate and all these things. And I was, you know, convinced that these things gave me pimples. And I stopped getting them. And then surprisingly, age 17 and 18, I stopped getting pimples. But it's probably because my puberty was done. So I just stopped eating chocolate. This is a long time to tell this simple story. But long story short, yes, I remember when I met my wife, she just mesmerized me. I saw her and I went, oh, the world stopped and my heart did too. And I began to spend a lot of time with her. I began to, you know, have conversations with her. And she began to just share the things she likes. I quickly learned that she loves ice cream. But she doesn't like just plain ice cream. She loves chocolate. She actually likes ice cream with her chocolate. I would describe it that way. And the more she would eat chocolate and ice cream, the more I said, you know what, let me just, if you can't beat them, just join them, you know. And so to this day, I love chocolate. So I love my wife. Yeah. So I don't know where I was going with that. It's a beautiful story. Thank you, Pastor Rob. Love it. But to be holy is to pursue one who is totally unlike anything or anyone else. To become holy, to pursue this totally other than lifestyle, this identity, is to be one who pursues the one who is all holy and totally other than. The writer of Psalm 24, he says it this way. He says, Who may ascend the hill, but who may ascend? What does it mean, this description? Who will ascend? I love this. Just imagine God asking you and me this question today. Who will ascend? Who will pay the price of hunger and thirst? That's why I asked that question in the beginning. Who will actually ascend? The question is not who has the privilege to. The access is given to all. But based on our hunger level is based on how we will ascend the hill of the Lord, the presence of the Lord. To ascend is to meet, to visit, to follow, to depart, to withdraw, to retreat. That's the definition of to ascend. And we see in the Old Testament and the New Testament a couple examples of them. I'll read them in a second. But we see this pathway for ascension, so to speak. It's an analogy, okay? The ascension of the Lord is this heart posture that comes before him in a way that wins his, that causes us to get his attention, which we already have his attention. We're already in the room of success. But it causes him to want to respond. When he sees a heart that's responding towards him, it causes him to want to bless us back. He never will let you outgive him. And when you give him what you have, even if it's broken, weak, if you feel like in this room tonight, watching online, you feel like all you have to offer the Lord is brokenness, give it to him and he will give you something beautiful back in return. Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes is that pathway that leads us to the heart of the Lord, that ascending process. The first four Beatitudes describe the internal working of the Holy Spirit in us that positions us, so to speak, to receive from the Lord. The first beatitude simply says, blessed, there's a blessing waiting for the one who recognizes their poverty of spirit. In other words, that recognizes there's nothing that I can attain or anything good in me except that it comes from a good Father in heaven. But it's in that place that leads us to receive from the Lord. It is acknowledging that he has everything that satisfies us and we have nothing that can satisfy us. That is the heart posture of ascending the hill of the Lord. Does that make sense? You tracking with me a little bit? Two people tracking with me? Anybody else? Anybody else want to take a journey with me? Come on. Come on. Love you. Letter G, we must have a shift in what we hunger for. As long as we feed our spirit, man, as long as we feed our souls on everything that the world has to offer, we will never have a hunger for more of God. And there are many, many options. There's a plethora. There's a buffet of so many options of stealing the affections of our hearts. What does that mean when I say steal the affections of our hearts? When we willingly surrender our time, our money, our attention to 10,000 other things, you no longer have anything to then give to receive out of that place of hunger for the Lord. There has to be a shift, and that's why I have this burning desire to share this message tonight from Psalm 24. It's the Lord prophesying to his church in this hour. In the midst of COVID, in the midst of uncertainty, in the midst of war, in the midst of racial tension, in the midst of shaking all things that can be shaken, it's the Lord saying, who will ascend my mountain? Who will ascend the hill of the Lord where my son sits at my right hand? It's the invitation of heaven. I hear the shouting. I hear the applause of heaven. I can imagine the angels, the fiery messengers of God shouting, cheering, helping, assisting us to get to that place where we receive more of God. The Lord is helping us in this time, in this season, to shut out all those things. Matthew chapter 5 verse 6 talks about blessing on the one who hungers and thirsts for righteousness. Let me just move past that verse. Letter I, the one who ascends into the hill of the Lord. Everybody say into. It's into the hill of the Lord. Under that, there's a couple powerful statements I want to make. Much of our culture is in pursuit of how much to fit into the world around us. How to do what others are doing. How to emulate what the world is doing. What Hollywood is doing. What others are pretending to be like. Like even us as believers are like, well, let me see what looks successful in the eyes of the world and try to do what they're doing. The Lord says there's a hill, there's a platform, there's a claim to fame that is unseen by the world. But if you would ascend that place, it's a platform that you'll become famous into the ages because you'll become like Jesus himself. We wonder why much of the church of the Lord isn't looking like Christ. It might be because we're not standing before Christ. We're not hungry for the things of the Lord. There is a distraction in our culture. There's so many things that are vying and desiring for the attention and the affection of you and me. Am I talking to anybody tonight? Because I'm standing in the front of this line tonight. I'm going, I might jump off just to get, I already have your attention. But it's the Lord saying, can I have your attention, please? I remember saying that at the beginning of COVID. Can I have your attention, please? Yes, thank you, sir. Letter B under this point, into the hill of the Lord. Everyone wants their own platform to be useful for the Lord. I believe that's the desire of all of us. We want to be useful for the Lord. We want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into my joy. Enter into my rest. We all want that. Everyone wants a platform of usefulness for the Lord. Rightfully so, we should. But what if that platform is defined by 30 years of hiddenness in the desert? 30 years of hiddenness. We look at examples of Moses, 40 years. John the Baptist, 30 years almost. Jesus, 30 years. What if the platform, the greatest platform the Lord has for you in this age is to be hidden more than seen? I would submit to us that our place of being hidden in Christ is the effectiveness to be able to stand before the world. I'm preaching now to myself. The highest platform for the human heart is the hill of the Lord. Let me say it again. The highest platform for the human heart is the hill of the Lord. It's so sad. It saddens. It sickens. It saddens to hear the reports of those in Hollywood who sell their very souls. And literally, many times, they sell their souls for the platform of fame and money and recognition and notoriety in this age, only to lose out on everything in the age to come because they sold their ownership of their soul to one who would destroy them in the end. I believe that there's a desire in the Father's heart to bring us into that place where we identify secret life in God reproduces powerful life before men and into the life to come. Look at what the ascend the hill of the Lord. How do we understand that? In the Old Testament is another primary example of that in Haggai chapter 1 verse 8. The call was for God's people, for Israel too. In verse 8 it says it this way. Go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. In other words, this same phrase, who may ascend the hill of the Lord, is to be understood here in Haggai chapter 1 verse 8. Ascend or go up to the mountain of the Lord. It's the same invitation. Well, in the New Testament, we see the most clear example of it in Revelation chapter 4 verse 1. It says, come up here. It's this invitation in the New Covenant in the Greek language. Come up here and I will show you things that must take place after this. Roman numeral 2, who may stand? Who may stand in his holy place? Verse 3 of chapter 24. Or who may stand in the Lord's holy place? Who may stand? How do we understand who may stand, this phrase? The question, again, I believe that the Lord asks you and me, and it's not just one time. I think he asked us in all different seasons of our life. Who can stand? Who will stand? Or who desires to stand? It's a critical question God asks. He asks me each and every day. I'm always challenged to recognize that that's where I find my identity in the Lord. It can be one of the most amazing, exhilarating, powerful weekends of ministry and preaching before crowds and, you know, just seeing signs and wonders or whatever the Lord does. And then Monday morning comes around and the Lord says, hey, I'm still here. Will you still come and meet with me? I did some really cool things. I gave you some really cool gifts, but will you still come and be with me? Every day, every week, that's the invitation to stand before him. Who may stand is the question. To stand is to maintain oneself, to endure, to be proven, to persist, or to be set, or to rise up, to be established. That's what it means to stand. It's constancy. It's faithfulness. It's even as you guys were singing that song, that one phrase just hit me, and I just wept like a baby. But nobody saw me because I'm facing this way. I don't know, something about devotion, my devotion. I cast before your feet. Like, it's that call of faithfulness. It's like if faithful to whatever your assignment is, as a mom, as a worker, as an employee, as a whatever it is, faithfully going through the struggles of life. I look at Jose back here. The Lord loves you, bro. The Lord is so jealous for the affections of your heart. And the Lord says, your devotion to continue to stand before me, to continue to pursue my heart, it moves me more than you'll ever know until that age to come. And when you stand before me, I'm going to show you. I feel the Lord would say that over you. It's a desire to stand before the Lord. Letter D, this is powerful. Those who become acquainted with Christ's heavenly throne room in this life will be rewarded with proximity or closeness in the ages to come. Let me read that again, because some of you might go, what? I don't think that's right. Those who become acquainted with Christ's heavenly throne room in this age will be rewarded in the ages to come by proximity to his throne in the age to come. Our response to his throne now will determine how close we get in the ages to come. Well, that sounds like that's not fair. I mean, we're all sons and daughters, right? To which I would respond, well, heaven is not a socialist government system. It is actually, it is the king on the throne, and he rewards so well. He rewards so well, and he will always, everyone who enters into heaven, heaven with Christ will be rewarded in ways that we could never imagine. But I believe there is a varying degree of how he rewards us based on our faithfulness and the assignments on this age, on this life. I'm actually going to be talking about that throughout the rest of this year, eternal rewards. But Revelation chapter 3, don't take my word for it, take the word of the Lord, take Jesus, what he says in Revelation 3:8, it says it this way. I know your works, church, David Futrell. I know your works, William David Futrell. See, I have set before you an open door. I've set before you an open door. That is a door of possibility. He says, and no one can shut it. It'll never be shut. Your access into my presence is what he's saying to this church. Will never be closed to you, for you have little strength, because usually that's our first response. But I have so little strength. What is it in me that I have to offer you? And the Lord says, I know you have little strength, but you've kept my word and have not denied my name. And he begins to talk about the rewards of being called a pillar in the house of the Lord. What does that mean, pillar in the house of the Lord? Those that have privilege and access, the identity, a celebration that will always be seen, known, and celebrated in the age to come, based on your personal testimony in Christ. Our willingness to be acquainted with Jesus' throne room now will be rewarded in the ages to come, is my point. In his holy place, this phrase, in his holy place. If this pursuit does not become our highest pleasure and our highest reward, we'll attempt to satisfy it in other areas. Now, though we might have imagined we had the luxury of just attempting to be satisfied with all that the world had to offer in previous seasons of life and generations, we're living in times that the deception of the enemy, the rampant press of Satan, who is the desire to destroy and to kill you and me and to steal all of our reward from the Lord, his plan is to get you so distracted and so deceived that you no longer desire the things of God. And ultimately, you'll turn your back on the Lord. I'm not saying that that is your desire. I'm saying this is the attempt of Satan, his plan for our life. Why do we want to stand in his holy presence and his holy places? We want to become, that is our highest privilege. That is our highest reward. That is our highest pleasure. And I believe there's a great deception that's growing in this age, attempting to distract us from that place, being familiar with God, where God lives, his very address. The very address of heaven, to become so unfamiliar with it that we spend so little time talking about it, studying it, learning it, meditating it, and we never go there by the Holy Spirit who wants to help us to get there. Because it's in that place we receive all that we have need of. We move on for time's sake. To be holy. Holy is, again, separateness, apartness, designated person, place, thing for God. To be set aside as holy, and I'll give some examples of what that means in Scripture, is to be set aside as completely separated for the purpose of God. Do you know that the reason why Jesus saved you is because he loves you and he wants you to discover how powerful his grace and his resource is flowing through your life? Did you know that? Like, that blows my mind. Like, part of our journey in this age, in this life, I received the Lord. I started following him at age 16. I know he loves me, and he's always reminding me of that. But he's constantly wanting me to remember and to discover how much he wants me to follow him and to learn how powerful he can work through my life and use my broken words and my efforts and my attempts to love other people. He's wanting to teach us that. To set us apart as holy, look at different examples in the Bible. There is the, God is what? He's a father, right? But he is the holy father, the holy son, the holy spirit, the holy oil, the holy altar. As you think of some, just shout them out in a second. The holy altar, the holy communion. Scripture is making these references. Holy fire, holy marriage, holy sons and daughters of God, holy city, Jerusalem. What are some other examples in Scripture? Holy word, yeah. It's holy scriptures. Again, this is the Lord is saying matchless, totally other than. There, he is these things, but he's beyond our wildest imagination of these things. And this is who he calls you to be. Your identity is unique, totally other than anything or anyone else. And the Lord says, don't be a copycat. Be like I've created you to be, holy, totally other than, because that's how I made my son. That's who my son is. Letter H, I put in my notes, wow. Well, in letter G, I think there will be many who are, I think there is a growing offense in some who have been following the Lord, but many will be offended by discovering that our opinions of God were not the truth of God. When we stand before the Lord on that day when he appears, every eye will see him, every tongue will confess who he is, in other words, they'll acknowledge who he is, and every knee will bow before him. In that day, the offense that will rise up thinking, I thought you were something else and someone else. And today, he is beginning to reveal who he is, and the offense to those who were deceived and being taught maybe a false gospel message are going, but I thought he would do this for my life. I've said this before many times, but much offense rises within our hearts, not simply because of what God does, but because of what he does not do for us and through us and in our circumstances. But the offense is minimized when we become like Isaiah in chapter 6 of Isaiah, when he stands before the Lord and he goes, I see him. Lifted up, woe is me. And in that hill of the Lord, the highest hill, higher than Capitol Hill, higher than every other hill, every other place of authority, when we stand in that place, often we become more like him and the offense melts away by the Holy Spirit's help. That's a good word. Letter H, let me finish this out. We will never be successful for the Lord externally without being surrendered to the Lord internally. I'm gonna read that again. We will never be successful for the Lord externally without being surrendered to the Lord internally. I have not arrived. I'm a preacher. I'm a preacher man. I have a title. I hold a microphone. I have not arrived. Every day I have to surrender to the Lord. I thank the Lord even coming through this 30-day fast. Dedicated September, and one of the things the Lord gave me this precious grace to be ready to respond to his voice. When that thought or that deed or that desire popped up into my heart or my head, I was ready to just push delete, cast it out. It's the grace of the Lord. We want to respond to him quickly. I want to be surrendered to the Lord. A couple more thoughts. Roman numeral 3, those with clean hands and a pure heart. Psalm 24, verse 4 describes this. He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. What does it mean to have clean hands? It doesn't mean you wash with antibacterial soap, though please keep doing that, especially in flu season, COVID, especially right now. I just really recommend that. And all the doctors and nurses in the house, medical professionals, they would encourage that as well. But the Bible's not talking about washing our hands. Speaking about clean hands, it's an absence from evil doing, outward works. So what the writer of Psalm 24 is saying, who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who will ascend the hill of the Lord? Who will stand in his holy presence? It's the one who has clean hands, who demonstrates that my intentions are pure and right before the Lord. My outward works, the things that I say, the things that I do, my words, my deeds are God-honoring. The Bible describes that the use of hands are what we do to come into agreement, to covenant with other people. It's what we give ourselves to in our work, in our efforts. Those things that we give our time and our energy to with our hands basically demonstrates a willingness to honor the Lord with our life. A righteous person surrenders their hands to be used by God as the highest pleasure and purpose for God in worship, adoration, working. He says, clean hands and a pure heart. I'm going to make this last point, and then we're going to have a time of worship and prayer. A pure heart, what does it mean? It's absence from evil thoughts. It's the inward works of the heart, the inward expressions that no one else sees. So what is the Lord saying? The Bible speaks of the heart as the center place of the person. It's the identity. It's the hidden person of who we are when no one else sees or knows. It's who we are on the inside. Letter B, in making this pure heart point, who we are on the inside is how we will live on the outside. Whatever we value from within is what we will pursue without. The character and values of a person determines what we will give our time and our money and our affections to. That's a powerful point to end on. You agree with that point? Say amen. All right, I'm going to invite you to stand. Our worship team, yeah. If you guys could come on up. They're family. As Rob and Kelly come up, I'm just so thankful to the Lord for their friendship. It's a privilege to serve the Lord in our city together. And see, it just demonstrates that the body of Christ can work together and serve and honor his one body in a city and a region. So I preached at his church a couple times. Of course, he's ministered here many times, and so excited about that. This week, we had a revival service down in Florida City. You guys will get a chance to meet Pastor Taru Dean. He'll be preaching here, hopefully sometime before the year is out. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to worship the Lord together, and I just want to invite and just open up these altars. If you want to find a place where you're, you know, you are distancing apart, you just feel set, you feel like you're responding to the Lord tonight, there's plenty of space up here. So I'm going to invite you in just a second, and we're going to just wait before the Lord. And I may come behind you and just put a hand on you, just agreeing with God's heart. Let the Lord speak the word of the Lord over you if he has a word for you. But I just want to invite his presence to come and touch his people. So if you're not responding, they're going to lead us in worship, and you're free to dismiss. I'll close this officially, and as you want to be dismissed, you can do that. And so we're just going to wait before the Lord and ask his fiery presence to fill us today and to encourage us. So will you pray with me as we close? Father, we thank you for this night. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for the word of the Lord that you're always speaking, Jesus. You're always speaking. Even tonight, Lord, thank you for what you've said to our hearts. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you've already deposited on the inside of us. Thank you. Thank you, Father. You love your church. You love your people. You love this spiritual family. Thank you for what you're saying and what you're doing. Thank you, God, for all that you have in store for your people, for this spiritual family. We just submit ourselves to you, and we just say, because you are holy, totally other than, would you make us holy, totally other than? Would you fulfill that highest privilege and pleasure of your heart in us? God, would you cause that identity, that calling, that purpose to come forth in this season of human history as fathers and mothers and men and women, children, young people? God, we ask that your word would come forth with power, with a confidence of who you are in us and what you desire to do through us. God, we ask you bless this time as we gather together. Lord, as we worship in these last few minutes, would you just receive our offerings in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. I just want to invite you forward. You just want to stand in the presence of the Lord, just kind of move out in faith. You're just simply saying, hey, I'm just taking a step of faith. The Lord can meet you where you are if you want to talk to the Lord there, but stepping here is just saying, hey, I'm moving out, I'm demonstrating. I want to go from where I am to where He wants me to be. Just wait before the Lord, worship Him, lift your hands in the presence of the Lord. God, we thank You in the mighty name of Jesus.
Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence And I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, when my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Holy Spirit, You are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by Your presence. Lord, Holy Spirit, You are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome. Presence, Lord, Your presence, Lord. Let us become more aware of Your presence. Let us experience the glory of Your goodness. Let us become more aware of Your presence. Let us experience the glory of Your goodness. Let us become more aware of Your presence. Let us experience the glory of Your goodness. Let us become more aware of Your presence. Let us experience the glory of Your goodness, Lord. Spirit, You are welcome here. and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Jesus, we seek your face. Oh, open my eyes that I may see your glory in my life, the hope that you have chosen for me. Exalted, O God, above the heavens, as you're seated on the throne, you're the King of glory, the risen Lamb. We call upon you. Let the weight of your presence fill this place. Let the whole earth be filled with your glory. Let the weight of your presence fill this place. Let the open my eyes that I may see your glory in my life, the hope that you have chosen for me. Exalted, O God, above the heavens, as you're seated on the throne, you're the King of glory, the risen Lamb. We call upon you now. Let the weight of your presence fill this place. Let the whole earth be filled. Let the whole earth be filled with your glory. Let the weight of your presence fill this place. Let the whole earth be filled with your glory. Your glory. God, we seek your face. Our love and devotion poured out at your feet. Oh God, our brokenness to your feet, where you love on us, oh, you love us back to life. You pour your love, you pour your affection over us. You love us right where we're at. And you love us back to life. Oh, I love the way you love me. Oh, I love the way you love me. Oh, yes, I love. Sometimes it seems like I'm hard to love, but you love us anyway. You see past our brokenness.
Our devotion
affection, a devotion poured out on the feet of Jesus. Our affection, a devotion poured out on the feet of Jesus. Our affection, a devotion poured out on the feet of Jesus. Our affection, a devotion poured out at your feet. Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the one our hearts adore. Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the one our hearts adore. And our affection, a devotion poured out at the feet of Jesus. Our affection, a devotion poured out on the feet of Jesus. Our affection, a devotion poured out on the feet of Jesus. Our affection, a devotion poured out on the feet of Jesus. Our affection, our devotion poured out on the feet of Jesus. Our affection, our devotion poured out on the feet of Jesus. Our affection, our devotion poured out on the feet of Jesus. Our affection, our devotion poured out on your feet. Jesus, we love. You are the one our hearts adore. Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the one. caught up in your presence. I just wanna sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never wanna leave. Oh, for blessings, Jesus, you don't owe me anything. More than anything that you can do, I just want you. I'm sorry when I've just gone through the motions. I'm sorry when I just sang another song. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. I'm sorry when I've come with my agenda. I'm sorry when I forgot that you're enough. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. I'm caught up in your presence. Nothing else will do. I just want you. And nothing else. And nothing else. Nothing else will do. I'm caught up in your presence. I just wanna sing.